Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 45, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah. For Tuesday, August 21st, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You go... Fuck. You go back, Jack O'Brien. Zeit turning round and round. Steely Dan! That is courtesy of at Death Star Hip Hop. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's no surprise to me, I am Miles' own gray enemy. Cause every now and then, Zeit kicks the living shit out of me. Okay, thank you to Will Moran at WillyMo323 for that one. Who is that? Deep Six or Seven
know,
Dust or...
Blink 182.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Please.
Tell
Seven
me.
Dust.
You got that real sneer though. I think it's something about growing up in Southern California.
Yeah. Dog, you know, honestly, like emo shit is my favorite way to talk.
Emo guy.
Emodium.
He speaks in emo.
If this was still effect. 2010 at the height of internet sketch comedy, I would do a sketch called Emodium about a supplement you drink to give you emo voice.
Nice.
All right, great. And that's called Lost Sketches with Miles.
And in our third seat, we have the host of the podcast, Brouhaha, on the Unpopular Opinion Network, the hilarious stand-up comedian, Vanessa Gritton.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
I'm psyched, and I'm thinking a lot about Blink-182 now. I did not realize how... You perfected the voice that they had.
Thank you.
So I'm psyched.
Wait, so how do you describe that voice?
I describe that voice as like boy in an Etnie shoe.
Oh yeah.
You know that kind of like please tell me that kind of deal.
You know what? I just got the word in off the Google. It's by Lit.
Oh,
is that Lit?
Yep, by Lit.
Oh, they own that one bar in downtown Fullerton that only plays 90s.
They own a bar in downtown Fullerton?
Yeah, it's called the Slide Bar, and they only play like Blink 182 and Lit and shit like that.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's an amazing like cultural move to start a bar that only plays you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
be like,
Slide Bar.
We're sort of underrated.
Oh, whoa, the photos, though.
I grew up in Orange County.
Slide
so
Bar,
I'm a
Rock
special
and Roll
kind of
Kitchen. Where in Orange County?
Fullerton.
Okay.
Fullerton, like on the border of Anaheim and Fullerton.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, we're going to get to know you even better than we just did. But first, we like to tell our listeners what they're in store for. We are going to tell them about the conspiracy that is out there to get you to drink shitty pink wine. We are going to talk about Michael Shannon's interview with Playboy. Mm-hmm. We're a Michael Shannon appreciation society here at the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk about Netflix experimenting with ads and what to do about that. We are going to talk about Asia Argento and the latest revelations about her. We're going to talk about Kelly Ward, who is running for Senate and has... literal Mike Cernovich on her bus tour.
A literal Mike Cernovich.
We're going to talk about the newest way to market your wares if you are a porn star. It involves Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the Supreme Court nominee.
Nothing but
Coach
a Cavi.
And, you know, some shady shit from his past that we're finding out about.
Besides the $200,000 in baseball tickets.
Yeah, besides that.
I like how that one just completely was, you know, swept aside.
It's just like so hard to hold in your mind.
Yeah, no, it is.
The idea of $200,000 in baseball tickets. But Vanessa, let's find out. What's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
The last thing I searched that reveals who I am is what is that song that goes doot, doot, do? And a lot of different variations of it.
Mm-hmm. Like do 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 do.
No, like do 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 do. Because what had happened was I had actually had a bunch of rosé.
Okay.
And I got drunk and I wandered into Pershing Square and I came across Smash Mouth after arguing with someone that it was indeed Smash Mouth. And somebody said that the Spin Doctors opened for them. And I started crying because I thought they had that dude, dude, dude song and I missed it.
Oh.
But then somebody was insisting that it wasn't the Spin Doctors. So I kept trying to look it up. But the only lyrics I knew was dude, dude, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept typing in dude, dude, dude. And it was actually Third Eye Blind.
Wait, was that the show this weekend?
Yeah, that was the one this weekend.
It was Spin Doctors and who?
It was Spin Doctors and Smash Mouth.
Fucking
It was at Pershing Square. It was free. I wandered into it, but I thought it was Third Eye Blind because they have that song that's right. happy, but it's about meth. Spent forever trying to figure out what the Dude 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 song was called.
Man, I should have gone to that.
Yeah. It was awesome. I walked in when they were playing I'm a Believer, and I couldn't remember the name of it either. So I was like, Shrek song.
Yeah. And you didn't catch the Spin Doctors?
Did not catch the Spin Doctors.
Oh, that's a miss. I would have only gone for the spin.
Yeah.
Because I'm just walking around with a pocket full of kryptonite.
Just there for the spin.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. You know, Two Princes. You know, I'm out here with that.
God, man. They had a talent for just a very specific type of earworm.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Man, their shit was like on every, like, 90s
every trailer. Every single one.
My God.
Especially Smash Mouth.
God.
We'll get to your underrated in a moment, but one of the more underrated videos on the internet is the time that the lead singer of Smash Mouth went into the crowd at a concert because the crowd threw bread at him, and he was like trying to fight people in the crowd. But it's like as the band is like vamping for All Star,
right?
And so they're just like vamping like pros, and like then he's like, "Come on, come over here! I'm gonna kick your fucking ass, man!" And like you just like hear him losing it the whole time, and then like after 15 minutes of like him talking shit to the crowd and being in the crowd, he like gets back up on stage and is like, "Somebody wants it." It's like the greatest. And the band is just like so used to him being like a diva that they're just like vamping the whole time. Like,
they're like, yeah, he's gonna fight someone.
Yeah, he's gonna fight someone while we do the beginning of All Star for 3 minutes.
Wasn't that at like a state fair or something?
I think
it was like not a concert really, like where people paid to see you, which is why they threw bread at you, my friend. Because they don't fucking like smack. I mean, not that you should ever throw bread at a performer, but like, it's not like you were at a performance for people who paid to see you there.
Like, if I can see you from the top of a rickety roller coaster, it's not a concert.
No, not at all. No.
But my question is there a specific reason for the bread? Like, is there a tie into the bread?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I
just remember that it was bread.
Like octopi and hockey?
Yeah.
Someone just being like, fucking smash.
Some significance?
Take this King's Hawaiian roll.
I just think that people should now bring bread and throw it at Smash Mouth from now on.
Yeah. Vanessa, maybe he has a gluten allergy.
Yeah, that could be it. Vanessa, what's something that's underrated?
Deeply underrated, canned spam.
Canned spam?
Yep.
Is there another form of spam we're not aware of?
Oh, no, just canned. Spam. It only comes in a can.
Yeah.
You have to wiggle it out.
Yep.
It burps on its way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hella underrated because it's something I've always gotten shit for eating, but it's so fucking versatile.
Okay.
Like it'll last forever and it can go into just about anything and it's delicious. It's basically all of the best parts of a porky meat without like having to splatter your kitchen in grease. And I feel like we're not doing enough. Hawaiians have it right.
Oh, yeah,
we're not
right.
doing enough shit with spam.
I mean, the musubi is my favorite way to use spam.
It's a phenomenal piece of food.
I remember the first time I had it, I was like, man, I'm not eating no fucking spam. And then I ate it and I was like, this salt meat flap is my favorite thing.
What
I've
is musubi?
It's just basically putting on a bed of like sushi rice, like a thin slice of spam on top that's like sort of griddled, fried basically on the outside. Get a little char, then you wrap it with the seaweed on top. And it's like,
it's magical.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. When I was a kid, one of my favorite sandwiches was just yellow mustard, white bread, and griddled spam. And it doesn't sound like it's like musubi where it's three ingredients, but it's phenomenal.
See, I don't venture outside of the spam musubi.
Spam and eggs. Spam and fried rice. Amazing.
Yeah, okay.
I love spam. It's hell underrated.
Breakfast meats in general. Like, I feel like people should not be looking down their nose at one breakfast meat but eating the other. I mean, they're all a mess, kind of.
Yeah.
They're all a mess, and they all ruin the backsplash of your kitchen.
I should eat it because I love canned corned beef hash
type,
like, dog food meat.
Fuck, right. I love that shit. So, it looks like cat food.
Yeah, in a way, I'm like, why the fuck am I not really fucking with spam? Because I eat this other trash canned meat, so I should be eating the spam outside of just the musubi.
You like a good hash?
Oh, yeah. Cue the Weezer.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you were saying spam doesn't cause the backsplash grease, or it does? And
it doesn't when you fry it on its own because it has sufficient just meat jelly in it.
Ah, got it.
But if you try and put it in oil, it's just going to firework on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Got it. What is something that you think is overrated?
Fucking honeydew.
Honeydew.
I hate honeydew melon. I hate honeydew melon.
That's the green one?
It's the green one. It's the green with not a ton to. And everybody's like, oh, it's so refreshing. It's a refreshing fruit. But I think it's filler. Every time I've ever ordered a fruit cup and they're like, it's a seasonal fruit cup. It's 90% honeydew and like one strawberry on it.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Or like anytime I'll go somewhere and there's like some kind of nice, like nifty ice cream flavor. I'm like, oh, is it Thai iced tea? Is it taro? And it's fucking honeydew.
Ugh.
Honeydew is a bullshit filler melon.
Ugh.
Honeydew is a second string fruit.
Wow.
For people who like honeydew, why do they think fruit salads will have the good fruit on the outside and like just be packed with honeydew on the inside? Like,
yeah,
that's filler.
It's a packing peanut.
Yeah, exactly. It's a packing peanut.
And half the time it's not even sweet.
Right.
It's just there. It's like has the form of a fruit, but like when you eat it, it's like, oh, this is just water that tastes a little bit like green.
It's the equivalent of air in a bag of baked Lays.
Yeah.
They just like throw it in
there. Why baked Lays for that comparison?
Because I feel like that has a higher ratio of air to chip.
Oh, really?
It's a more fragile chip.
I don't do that. I don't do that to myself. Eat a baked Lay. That's just.
Oh, really?
You can eat chips.
It's basically
a
Pringle.
Yeah, well, but I guess so too, because they're so delicate, the baked Lay. You know? Anyway.
And finally, Vanessa, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
That Latinos can dance. it's always every Latino can dance, every Latino can dance, and I've always been the antithesis to that statement.
Okay.
Ever since I was a kid, my entire family's always been like, oh, it's just in you, the rhythm's always in you, and it never got me. I've been promised that the rhythm was gonna get me, and it never happened, and I've, like, collected a friend group in Los Angeles of other Latinos with not a shred of rhythm in their body, and I now publicly debunk this, because on a show that's going to be out soon that I worked on, they had the crew come out and like dance at the end of the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we can use that take anymore because everyone's like, dancing and I walk in.
Is she having a seizure?
And I'm anxious and I don't want to touch anyone. So I tried dancing by myself and it doesn't look great. So I panic and I tried turning around, but now my back's facing the camera. So I have someone yelling at me to turn back around. So I turn around and I do that like high school boy, like, shaking the dice.
Oh, shit.
Letting them out of the bus. And it looks like I'm having a seizure and I panic and I get tangled in my mic and everything. So I just drop all of my shit onto the soundstage, bend down to pick it up. Someone releases a confetti cannon and I fall down. So I don't know.
This sounds like it should be the show.
Yeah.
Just a nonstop, just pratfall of you
coming
trying.
This fall. Awkward dancers.
Because, like, there's an entire group of people dancing and I'm like 2 feet away at least dancing by myself.
Wow.
Because I don't know what to do near people.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Proved it on camera.
But do you
and
like
maybe
to dance?
Room to I love dancing.
Oh, okay.
That's the weird part. Fucking love it. Like, I actively.
So what kind of moves do you do? It's like
out.
A two-step?
It's mostly just like a two-step or like something that looks like salsa, but it isn't salsa. But I know that people who don't know how to dance salsa, it looks like it's something to them.
Right.
If someone knows, it's not anything.
You're like, she's not a salsera.
She's
say
not a salsera. She doesn't know. So it's mostly just like what I think they look like and in dark places. So I could just do
there
it
you go.
Myself.
And if you're listening to other music, like what's some music you dance to that gets you going?
Oh, shit.
Makes your big toe shoot up in your boot.
Flume.
Flume,
yeah.
Well, how do you rock out to Flume then?
It's mostly just a lot of shoulder
like
wiggling and bending over.
There you go.
I'm a much better dancer when I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
I've
I'm a great dancer when I'm sitting down. When I'm standing up.
Just, get your neck going like,
stand
ooh,
up,
ooh,
I'm like,
ooh,
uh-oh.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
Hey, then just, you know, if you're
too many things can move.
Pull up to the club in a wheelchair so nobody has to ask exactly. anything. And they're like, damn, he doing something over there.
There's one day we were all dancing to Flume and everyone else had done psychedelics that day, but I decided to sit out at the last second and I heard somebody point at me while I was dancing and say, oh man, she's really feeling it. And I'm like, yep, that's what's happening.
Oh, look at the way she's in. She's got to be fucked up off her head.
Did a whole bunch of shrooms.
Do you like the tennis court remix, Lord?
I do like.
I really
like
that.
I do like a good tennis court remix, or "Holding On" is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One thing I used to do was I bought tap shoes, even though I don't know how to tap dance, to try and tap to things in my living room, because I hated my downstairs neighbor and tap is fun.
Wow.
So
good for you.
I'd play like something real weird and try and tap to it.
You're the most ambitious person at being for being bad at something.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at it, but I want to not be so bad.
That's amazing.
My downstairs neighbors hate me.
We'll stick with it. Maybe the rhythm will get you.
They need to bring that
tonight.
Show Made back dun, from MTV.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes.
MTV Made.
I used to watch Made as a kid, and I desperately want to be one of those kids that they like taught a cool choreography.
I feel
move.
Like MTV could do good by rebooting that and just taking adult millennials now who used to be the focus back in the early 2000s and be like, okay, what did you want to do? Like, I just want to dance a little bit.
I just want to dance. All right, let's get into the Rosé conspiracy, guys.
What is this conspiracy exactly?
So apparently this article was written by a Rosé expert, a person who has written books on rosé and what quality rosé is.
Bring
you.
The conspiracy music.
Bring in the conspiracy music. She basically says that rosé is generally usually garbage, and they use grapes that can't be used in other wines. And then apparently this stuff called bulk wine that she refers to is made with 75 ingredients besides grapes, which I didn't know was possible, but apparently wine doesn't need to have ingredients on the bottle.
Yep.
75 ingredients that are not wine?
Yeah, that are not grapes. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, go on.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I didn't even realize. I thought it was simple. Like, the rules of wine was like, motherfucking grapes.
It's a grape.
Yeah, you would think so.
Water. Water and grapes.
So they say that somewhere along the line, a rosé company will realize a restaurant is popular or has some buzz, particularly around the wine program. So they stop by, drop off a business card, and then they will, you know, start offering things like cash incentives to the sommelier. The writer of the article is a sommelier. Dinners, she writes, sporting game tickets, proving that she... is
sporting game.
Yeah.
As posh as you think she'd
yes,
be.
Exactly.
Hello, fellow billionaires. Would you like a ticket to the sporting game?
And basically it's a payola deal for putting different bottles of rosé. And the way that they can sort of trick people is that rosé is served colder than other beverages.
Yeah.
And the colder the beverage, the easier it is to
mask
kind of
come. Flavor.
Right. You basically are masking the flavor with the sensation of coldness, which is why Coors Light made it their whole thing to be like, our beer is cold.
It's so cold, you
just
don't realize you're
freeze
drinking
it.
Piss.
Look for the Blue Mountain and just close your eyes and think of England.
Right. And then in Europe, you know, they serve beer at room temperature because they know how to make beer, apparently. Americans are not going to like that statement.
No,
but
no.
I find alcohol marketing really interesting. Like, I read an article a long time ago about the guy who made Grey Goose, and I think he became a billionaire off of this. And just the way he made his first amount of money was by discovering that Jaeger was this thing that, like, frat guys were taking shots of as, like, a dare.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, we could actually market that. And so he started with this one college and then started like building out this marketing network of people who were like taking Jaeger shots as a dare and essentially like made it into the college like shot alcohol that it is today.
Which is why bars now have that weird fucking cooling machine
with
the upside down bottle behind
right.
the bar.
And the little spigots on it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, you shot a Jaeger out of this weird.
It was just like some frat bros discovered this like weird German or, you know, some European country aperitif, and they were like, oh, this is so gross. Like, but it also doesn't make you feel sick to your stomach because it is like for digestion.
Yeah, because like, it's used as like medicine for something. Like, oh, have a little bit of Jägermeister.
I didn't know that that was why it was appealing, because every time I've ever had Jäger, I felt like I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it's like it feels like a rite of passage. Like, yeah, man, you do some fucking Jäger shots, not because you love. The flavor was never that appealing to me.
Right. But I don't think it's appealing to most people, but realizing that he was basically a marketing wizard after he like tricked people into buying like the grossest liquor ever, he was like, well, what can we trick people into drinking next? And so Grey Goose was the first vodka where they charged basically like 50% more than other vodkas, which is already sold at a huge markup. And like chemically it's identical to other vodkas, but they just put it in a what looks like a wine bottle and put like a cork on the lid or on the cap, and that like made it seem classier, and you know,
it worked.
Even more money on that.
It's that frosted bottle.
It's interesting that it's such a chemically based thing, like an actual widely used drug that most people have used. You'd think that we'd be better at knowing like how the chemical makeup affects us. But it actually, I feel like, has so much tied up into like self-mythologizing and self-image that it's easier to trick people with marketing with alcohol.
It's weird that rosé like fucking blew the fuck up in the last 5 years, though. I remember like it being like, oh yeah, there's that pink wine. And then everything was like, it became like a lifestyle thing.
I'll go to your bridal shower if there's rosé.
Rosé all day shirts. Yeah. I'd rather, like rosé
hats.
Yes way,
rosé.
Rosé pink houses. Well, no,
I was at Target. I was at Target and I was like trying to get a like just some beach towels and shit. And the only ones they had left were these like all the rosé line of beach shit. And I was like, yo, they have Yes
Namaste
Way.
Namaste and rosé.
Yeah, like seriously, like rosé and chill. Rosé. Like chill and rosé. Like, okay, cool.
Wow. Netflix and chill and rosé tied together. The most of the moment corny thing.
But guys, if you do like a dry and fruity floral rosé, please check out Provence or Grenache.
I dig a good rosé mostly just because like I dig cold shit in the summertime. Most wine makes me sweaty. So it's one of the few beverages that doesn't do that. But also, if anybody here's ever had rosé in anything other than really, really chilled, it tastes like shit. That canned rosé that's really popular now, because they had this house painted brightly pink somewhere over on Wilton. And they didn't say what it was for, but millennials kept going to take like selfies there and take photos and tour the house. And it turns out the house was actually an advertisement for like millennial pink being tied in with rosé for this campaign for this canned rosé. Oh, so people didn't even know that when they were tagging themselves in all of this, they were essentially like creating the hashtag that would be used for this rosé company.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They were tricked into thinking it was like an art installation, but it was actually advertisement for this canned rosé thing.
Wow.
And I tried that canned rosé at a party once because they had these like girls walking around having people try them. The only thing is they didn't chill it sufficiently. So as soon as we all took one giant swig, it was just like a back because it tasted like those buzz balls that you get at gas stations.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Some like half sphere.
Yeah, the half spheres that always taste like plasticky somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, there's the thing. You can't have this at anything other than almost frozen.
Right.
I mean, Frosé was big too.
Frosé is huge.
That was like the hit of last
That's
summer
like
and this year.
A wine slushy.
Yeah, it's like a wine slushy that they even like made tumblers for. Like they looked like little wine glasses, but they had like a little sippy at the top and they would keep it frozen so you can like take it with you places.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Rosé, man. The market is strong.
Just go for a cheap white Zinfandel. It does the same thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they say. Like it's pretty much what you want. If you want the rosé experience, do the Zinfandel. But I wonder if they can. You're like, oh, this is good wine. They're like, actually, legally, we can't say wine. It's 1% wine.
It's a grape drink.
Yeah, what?
Alcoholic grape drink.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Shout out to super producer Anna Hosnier for forwarding the rosé article around to our thread yesterday. It's a hell of a read. People
should check
it out. A text
thread y'all will never be a part of.
Right.
Remember that.
It's a fun text thread. So, guys, the social medias were abuzz over the weekend because Netflix apparently started showing them ads.
Yo, get out of here with this shit.
You motherfucker.
I was giving a promise.
I know. I don't not pay for access to a Netflix account to see ads.
Right.
No, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, we're supposed to be able to binge. When you're binge drinking, you don't have to pause between bottles for a few words from Captain Morgan. You're just expecting to mainline that shit.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of breaking the spell of, you know, what we go to Netflix for,
right?
According to...
Because I think it started like
on social media.
On Reddit, someone posted, they're like, I'm getting ads after my Bob's Burgers or some show they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people were like, I think I'm getting it too, but not everyone got it. But the whole new thing was like, it was suggesting shows in between your binge sesh. And then Netflix kind of came out with a statement that said, you know, it's a test. They say, quote, we are testing whether surfacing recommendations between episodes helps members discover stories they will enjoy faster. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I feel like most people, it's weird. I use Netflix like when I used to have DVDs, and you just had that, like, those same, like, fucking 40 DVDs, and you're like, what am I going to watch today? The same 9 episodes of The Office I've always been watching.
Right.
Or whatever. And, like, even, and I'll ignore the thousands of other things. That might be good. But I think a lot of people were mad or whatever. But again, they're saying it's just a test. So they do this all the time. This isn't the first time they've tested things. So if you don't like it, don't interact with it. And then maybe you'll get the fucking message. They wouldn't like the ads.
Even though I feel like that's not going to work, because I feel like they've already introduced UIs that we have shown we hate, and they're sticking around. Like the autoplay of trailers when you scroll through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone has been very, very vocal that they hate that UI, and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right.
Like, I used to work customer support for Hulu, and I would get, like, insane amount of calls and emails and whatever it may be for something that we introduced, and like the numbers showing that people aren't interacting, but it doesn't change.
Right. They're like, we have to do this for money. So
I think the most annoying thing is that once you see an ad for something, you're like, fuck, I can't watch that, because then it will seem like the ad worked.
Oh, so is that
like
how you think?
Well, I mean, if we're going by your rules, which are you can't like actually click on the thing.
Right.
You know, because they're just trying to expose you to new things while you're watching your same 9 episodes of The Office, Miles.
Yep.
They're just trying Love to open your mind.
Great episode.
Great episode.
Great Asian racism in that one. It's so heartwarming for me.
But, I mean, this isn't, like you were talking about DVDs and VHS tapes, and we had to sit through
VHS tapes.
We had to sit through, like, previews before those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. And also, Netflix apparently has been selling us shit in the background of their movies and like product placement, and we just didn't realize it, or I didn't at least. That scene during Stranger Things 2 where the kids are like shoving KFC into their mouth and one of them says, "This is finger licking good." That was an actual product placement. Like that KFC paid
for. Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
For.
Damn you, Stranger Things.
Tin cup whiskey, it pays for product placement on Jessica Jones, which is weird because the show makes it clear she, like, has a serious drinking problem.
Yep.
GMC pays for product placement on Queer Eye. Dunkin' Donuts pays for product placement on House of Cards. Jose Cuervo pays for product placement on Fuller House.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
When the fuck were they sipping Cuervo?
I don't know.
When DJ... Tanner. Not DJ, but the
DJ,
other one.
DJ Tanner? When DJ, Stephanie goes as
Stephanie
DJ Tanner?
Stephanie as a DJ.
At Coachella?
Yeah, probably then. Wow, they made that real confusing to try and describe.
I know.
Jesus.
I'm trying to think, though.
Millennials are so easy to market
to. Hey, I fuck
to.
With Fuller House. It's awful. It's a terrible show, but there's something so nostalgic about that family. I don't know what it is. I can't quit them.
I know we're easy to market to just because of the amount of subscription services I have.
Right.
I have a subscription water bottle service. I am so fucking gullible.
Wait, a subscription water bottle?
Where they just send you an empty bottle?
It's called Circle. The first one is free because the first one always is.
Of course.
And they send you a free water bottle with interchangeable filters that taste like different things but don't
have
sugar.
Hey, they're not a sponsor, okay?
And they're definitely not a sponsor.
You're making
this
sound too good.
And they do not taste that great.
Oh, good.
I think they taste good. Everyone else thinks they taste like trash, but I like the taste of sugar-free things.
Right.
So I like it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hate that sweetener.
Yeah, like I like the taste of sweetener things.
Of aspartame.
Yeah.
Aspartame. Otherwise known as aspartame.
Which is, I think, technically a neurotoxin or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm dying
it
slowly.
It has some kind of classification as a neurotoxin.
That's a weird one because, yeah, it gave rats cancer and there was like a lot of publicity around that. But first of all, there's speculation that, you know, a lot of that was funded by the sugar industry and also the amount of...
Big sugar.
Right, mm-hmm. The amount of aspartame you would have to take would... like have to come in wheelbarrows to be the equivalent of what the rats
are right,
eating.
Right. I just meant more in the sense that like the way it tricks you to give that sensation of sweetness is by tricking your like brain cells and shit.
Really?
Anyway,
yeah, that makes sense.
I already got
sense.
Tricked into getting the water
bottles.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm out here pronouncing it as aspartame, so you know, take that with 3 grains of salt.
At that point, I mean, there's also these things about how like different colored pills can make you like go to sleep faster and sleep longer if it's like a blue colored pill. And it's like, yes, it's a placebo, but when you get into like the brain chemical it's causing, it's both pills are just causing chemicals to occur in your brain. So at that point, it's like getting into the matrix of like human existence. Yeah. It's like, well,
of course, the blue pill puts you to sleep,
right?
Bro.
Exactly.
So that fucking red pill.
Well, we do that with food all the time. Like wasabi shouldn't be that green. Ginger shouldn't be that pink. Mm-hmm. Like banana pie shouldn't be that yellow. But like, people need the little push to be like, oh, that must be delicious. It's brightly colored by what I think it should be.
Right.
It's exactly. Glowing.
Yeah.
I need that in my mouth.
Yeah. I do just worry about what this says about us, that we're up in arms about them showing us ads for their other products, but we're just letting them like shove KFC ads like down our throats just because it's like, yeah, well, it doesn't like interfere with the stream of content that's just like going directly into my veins, you know?
I'm just waiting for someone to break the fourth wall in the middle of a fucking show to sell something.
Like 30 Rock?
Yeah. Like any, yeah, exactly.
When they just look at the camera and be like, Snapple!
Right.
Do we know if Doritos paid for the Wayne's World spot? I wonder.
You mean like that whole section where they do
all of them? That whole section where they do like product placement? I mean, they probably would have had to because you can't say Doritos without getting Doritos permission. So, by the way, Doritos are delicious.
The taste of a new generation. Right. Pepsi.
And they're so flammable.
Oh, I can't. I got this headache.
So flammable.
Yeah.
Here, take two of these. What are they? Nuprin, little, yellow, different.
I miss the 3D ones.
The 3D, oh shit.
3D Doritos, remember them? They would come in that weird like little canister.
Yeah.
And then you'd pop, like it looked like a flashlight and you pop it open and they were like all puffed out. Oh fuck, I love those.
They were like basically two, like it reminded me of like a Japanese chip that's like a puffed corn chip. Basically, mm-hmm. It was like a puffed corn chip but made to look like a triangle had become pregnant.
Yeah.
Didn't they serve those at 7-Eleven? Like, or there were like hot three-dimensional Doritos. I never had them, but I always wanted to.
Oh, the Asteroids. There were hot Cheeto Puffs.
Yes.
I know my trash food.
Yes. And welcome to our new podcast, Trash Food.
Guys, speaking of the red pill, the fact that we all have to take one, Asia Argento, it has been revealed, paid off a person who she had sexual relations with when he was 17 in California, where the age of consent is 18. The details are pretty disturbing. Asia Argento was one of the leaders of the Me Too movement who was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, and her account of that sexual assault was one of the first kind of detailed accounts that we got. Mm-hmm. And the MRAs, men's rights activists, are, you know, celebrating this as the ultimate busting of the Me Too movement, and Drudge, the whole like top six headlines are different. Like commentaries on this script flipped as Weinstein accuser faces accusation.
Okay.
It's at least worth noting that this is a victim of abuse herself who then enacted similar abuse that she suffered onto another much younger victim. And it's fucked up and doesn't excuse her, but this isn't like some debunking of the danger of sexual violence. It's actually what you hear happens. It's like a, you know, chain of victimization.
Yeah, like I feel like a lot of people, especially in the MRA movements, don't understand that you could be a victim and a victimizer all at once.
Yeah.
And that isn't the antithesis of the movement, but it's like, it's why it exists. Everybody is having to pay penance at some point, and it's not something that only benefits women. It's also something that makes it easier for men to come forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what? The logical gymnastics of being like, oh, this person is guilty or settled some kind of sexual assault claim out of court. Therefore, the Me Too movement is null.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What?
There's not one spearhead. And I feel like I hear men on stage and men refer to it as like, oh, this person got Me Too'd, like it's punked.
Right.
Or it's like, this one got it.
Yeah. Where's he got Ashton? Targeted. Where's Ashton?
Look at the look on his face.
Yeah. he got me too'd. And it's like, no, you're still, wow, holy shit, you're still not getting it.
No, you didn't get me too'd. You did some shit in the past, and we're finding out about it.
Consequences is not the same thing as being unfairly punished. You're just paying the consequences for something you did.
Yes. Even on Twitter, like I saw people like retweeting like just some really, or just taking screen caps of other people's wild takes on Twitter about this.
Yeah.
Like, is this the end?
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, probably.
Because that, I don't, unless in their mind that somehow Asia Argento, like, this solves the problem of people exploiting their power for gain or to punish people who don't acquiesce to their advances. I'm not sure. Like, yeah. Again, these people are, I guess when you're on this side of the argument, on the MRA side of it, you're just so desperate for anything to kind of shatter the mm-hmm. thing that is so clearly an issue that you just don't want to confront or be honest with yourself.
Yeah, and it's like, where were any of you for Terry Crews? Like,
right.
Right.
You're standing here and saying, like, this is the one thing that disrupts the movement and it's something that it's against men, but where were any of you for mm-hmm. that situation when it's something that, like, benefited a man?
Right. But the associative law of sexual assault means that if, therefore, and then you put a negative on that side of the equation,
oh, right.
and therefore none of this ever mattered.
And then how many movies that they have, and if they're really good, and it's right. like, but I like to quote this one.
Right. That's right. true. That's an important thing to take into account. Michael Shannon. I think we need to talk about Michael Shannon.
Oh, that video guys. Where he puts all those pennies in his nose?
No, it's just, it's, what is that? I don't know about that video.
There's a video on the internet called Secret Talent Theater where they get different celebrities to do different things. And everyone has like an actual, like, I can pogo stick. Or like Dame Helen Mirren's like, I'm really good with a whip.
Cracking a whip.
And Michael Shannon's talent was he could fit a large amount of change in his nose.
Hell yeah.
But he's like playing the piano while he's doing it, but insisting that the talent is the change part. And he's getting like full quarters into it. Like not just dimes and pennies, like big ass coins up Ooh. There. He got like a laundry's worth of change in his nose.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was really impressive and kind of hot.
Yes. We've been into him since we saw this picture of him just like sitting at a bar
in
by
Chicago?
Himself
in
Chicago.
In a puffer jacket.
In a puffer jacket. Yeah. Just like looking like the like lonely kind of weird guy that nobody's talking to at the bar,
just
drinking
at
by
the
himself.
Corner, yeah, yeah, just watching the academy. Hey, man, aren't you in that movie? Yes, I was in a movie.
It was like, it was during the Academy Awards. Somebody took a picture of him just sitting there drinking up.
You think these awards mean anything to me? Yeah. He was in Playboy recently because, you know, just talking to him, doing the interview like they do on there because, you know, people read it for the articles.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, you know, he's got a knack for playing just really intriguing, villainous, evil, shitty dudes. And people were like, wow, you're good at that. And then, you know, the topic of villains naturally led their way to Donald Trump. And then they started asking him if he would ever play Donald Trump. And he just, you know, we should have known that the guy who doesn't even give a fuck about the Academy Awards when he's in a film that's been nominated would have any kind of reverence for, you know, the office of the president. So in the interview, they ask him, there's no part of you that would want to play Donald Trump? Michael Shannon, no. just to get inside his head, you talked about being fascinated with bad men who are suffering. How do you mean? How is he suffering? You don't think Trump struggles with demons? He's having a blast. Are you fucking kidding me? The guy is having so much fun. And there's no self-doubt or fear. He's having the time of his fucking life. He doesn't even have to work. All the hard work that most people have. Anyway, he goes on to it, blah, blah, blah. There's just one really interesting line. They go, so Trump is where your capacity for empathy ends. What is there to be empathetic toward? Well, what do you think is going through his head at 4 a.m.? He's lying in bed and staring at the ceiling. He's probably thinking, I want some fucking pussy. I don't know. I'm not going to remotely contemplate the notion that Trump is capable of deep reflection. In any form? In any form. Again, he just goes on. He's like, fuck that guy. So, yeah, you know, Michael Shannon. He's, don't look for him to be in the biopic of Donald Trump. And I don't think Michael Shannon could even do a Donald Trump like, that actually is outside of his range.
Yeah, he's got a very specific, like, yeah, narrow angle that really works very well for
Stepdad
him.
Stepdad Nate Mile.
Yeah. Yeah, he just has like...
super intense. Although he also played a stoner in Mud and was really good in that role, so...
Yeah. But I think just his energy, he just looks like a dude who's fighting back terrible hemorrhoid pain.
Yeah.
And like just dealing with it and not skipping a day of work and just being like, yep,
he's got
here
the
we
eyes
are.
Of a man that's led several unions.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and
probably
like,
the IBEW. I can see him being an electrical worker.
Something malformed about like him as a person. Like I don't know. That's the vibe I get from Michael Shannon.
He's a beautiful man. You know,
a building in Detroit that refuses to collapse.
Right, exactly. Is Michael Shannon's face.
That's Michael Shannon's face.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, we're going to take another quick break. And we're back. And we want to talk about the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett. Hopefully he won't actually be the Supreme Court nominee. We'll see.
Brett. So Democrats are pointing to a couple things, a couple shady things from his past. And Republicans are like, oh, okay, come on. Yeah, like that's a big.
Okay, maybe that's true, but come on.
But so there's the $250,000 in.
200, Jack, be fair.
$200,000.
Only $200,000 in Nationals tickets.
$200,000 in Nationals tickets that he racked up and went into debt, I think, paying for them.
Paid it off, though. He paid it off. Right. He paid it off.
But
still, he somehow, I don't know how you get to that.
Took out a mortgage on Nationals tickets. It's a weird move. So there was also this time that he lied under oath. He was asked if he worked on this Judge Pickering's nomination during the Bush administration. And Pickering ended up being very unpopular because he pushed to reduce the sentence of a guy who literally burned a cross on somebody's lawn.
Mm.
And people were like, oh, you're openly a racist. That's not good. So people were going back over how this guy got nominated because Bush, I guess, just went through and nominated him while Congress was on break. And so they were like, you know, not happy with the nomination process. So they asked him what his role was. And he was basically like, no role, nothing. I didn't do anything. Basically gave an I don't know her. And it's been shown. So now, like, the documents are coming out because we're able to take a look at emails of people who are nominated for a position on the Supreme Court. And it's like he's all over the fucking place. He's basically the main go-to guy on all things Pickering. He was like constantly emailing people being like, hey, can we get that op-ed written about how great Pickering is? Because we're getting a lot of shit over here. When a room was being reserved for a Pickering event, it was Kavanaugh who was consulted. When the White House press office needed materials about Pickering, it was Kavanaugh who asked the Justice Department for the files and relayed them. When a senator's chief of staff was coming to the White House to discuss the nominee, it was Kavanaugh who planned the meeting with her. So it was like he was the main.
But he testified to the point. He's like, I don't really know this person. No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, and they were specifically asking about his involvement in that whole process.
Are we surprised?
He didn't know those emails were going to come out. So
are we surprised, though? Are we really surprised that the guy who is basically being picked to just blow up the Mueller investigation is really good at saying whatever he needs to achieve what he wants?
And so the Republicans are acting like, oh, so this is some big deal. And, you know, I get why they think that's going to be effective because it's him lying about his association with someone who did something bad at a time when the president is openly doing crimes and just telling people not to believe the truth.
Well, truth isn't truth.
So it's not as spectacular as what we're getting from them elsewhere, but it's still, you know, the president's getting away with it because he's popular, and Kavanaugh, despite everybody being like, oh, he's overly qualified, is less popular than any nominee who's been approved in recent history.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about him being one of the main arguments is if it's contested and that reaches the Supreme Court, he would be the justice who would be like, oh, yeah, I don't think presidents need to fuck around with any kind of investigation because they're too important. Like, he believes in like turning up presidential power to fucking like 300, basically.
Yeah. Right.
But he said, oh, well, you know, when I was working the Ken Starr investigation against then Democratic President Bill Clinton, I realized how bad that is. And I don't feel that way anymore. Actually, I've changed. I have a change of heart and blah, blah, blah. And this whole change of heart thing is very disingenuous because now we've found out through a Freedom of Information Act request like this memo that came out during the Ken Starr investigation where he was going so hard at President
Clearly
Clinton.
Clearly frothing at the mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's like, after reflecting this evening, I am strongly opposed to giving the president any quote-unquote break in the questioning regarding the details of the Lewinsky relationship, unless before his questioning Monday, he either one, resigns, or two, confesses perjury and issues a public apology to you. And then in bold, he said he should be forced to account for all of that and to defend his actions. And then later on this memo, he literally like lays out to Ken Starr like these very explicit questions that he feels that he should like Ken Starr should ask the president.
Frothing at the pants. Too.
Frothing at oh god.
Frothing I never want to hear about frothing pants again.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I apologize.
No, but it's like it's all very graphic. He's like, if Monica Lewinsky says that you inserted a cigar into her vagina while you were in the Oval Office area, would she be lying? If Monica Lewinsky says you had phone sex with her on approximately 15 occasions, would she be lying? If Monica Lewinsky says that she gave you oral sex on 9 occasions in the Oval Office area, would she be lying? If Monica Lewinsky says that you masturbated into a trash can in your secretary's office, would she be lying? So he was really trying to air out as much of this scandal as possible when really this was about perjury and not being like, hey, can you admit to like fucking around? Like what specific did you nut into a garbage can? That wasn't the point of that. It was about the perjury aspect. So like you kind of start seeing, oh, okay. At the same time, like, this was happening, he's also, like, within a year of this was saying, like, oh, Nixon got boned. Like, he really shouldn't have had to hand over any tapes in regards to Watergate, and that fucked him. So he's always been on this whole thing of, like, presidential power if you're a Republican
right.
kind of thing. If it's a Democrat, oh, guess what? I'm going to ask you all kinds of just messy shit. We'll see what happens. I mean, I know there's slowly, you know, the Democrats are trying to find a way to – you know, put their foot down and be like, we're not gonna fuck this guy. We're not gonna confirm him.
Yeah.
But then you have people like John Tester and other more vulnerable Democrats who are like, well, I met with him and he seems like a good guy.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's we'll see where this goes.
But where's John Tester from?
Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he's worried about.
Yeah. I mean, all those, and yeah, you look at him, Joe Manchin, like a lot of these people
West
are,
Virginia.
They just have to. When it comes down to you get into the home stretch of an election, then suddenly it's got to be like, I'm going to have to pander.
Right.
So.
Yeah. How many people can I rile up?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I still feel like they shouldn't have to pander. Like the more we learn about these elections, the more it's like, just get, like, you can just appeal to people who care about the issues. You don't have to play by these like weird rules that were created by, you know, center Democrats.
Yeah.
I just want someone I can have a beer with.
That's my main thing.
And not someone who's hell bent on, you know, rolling back, you know, like marriage equality and reproductive rights. And, you know, letting a president just shit all over the democracy of, you know, whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
Hey, what's that? Look out the window. Oh, that's right. We're in hell.
You like Springsteen. We could be friends. He should be fine.
Hey, speaking of the fact that we're in hell, are your kids spending most of their time in an artificial reality called Fortnite?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, probably.
I wish my stepkids would talk to me, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
I do all the dances from Fortnite with them, too, and they're like, you're embarrassing me, Miles. I'm like, call me dad, kids. And then this guy's like, hey, get the fuck out of my garage. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
My bad.
Yeah, Fortnite, I was reading in Deadline that porn stars are now turning to Fortnite and other video games as sort of like as a brand building exercise.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, like streaming, they're kind of streaming them playing the games, scantily clad. And, you know, you're actually, it makes sense because I think when you look at the Venn diagram of gamers and porn consumers, it's actually just one circle.
Yeah.
On top of itself.
Oh, no, that's always been the case. Like one of my first jobs in Los Angeles was writing the Twitter for a adult film actress to make her seem like more nerdy inclined than she actually was.
Oh, really?
So like references and like she'd
April
go to like
O'Neil?
A con and no, God, if I had like been paid April O'Neil money, sadly, no. No, this was a porn star that later came out as a big old Trump supporter. But like this was before I left. But like I would tweet like little references and things, or like she would go to conventions and I would just basically like be like, all right, this reference means this.
Right.
I've made a career off of my voice, but not me.
right.
And that was one of the things that I got paid to do when I got here. And she'd refer me to other cam girls and adult film actresses to like provide them with like these dossiers of like references and things they can drop in interviews.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
To like bring in the nerd boy market.
That makes sense.
So as soon as I saw this, I'm like, yeah, duh.
Yeah. Cause I think like with porn, it's so like, as a kid, you're just like, what's on this website? And you don't really know the actors. I mean, like, since the videotape era has ended where you're like, oh, I got this new Jenna Jameson tape. Like, right now, it's almost like there's the market is so, like, you really got to set yourself apart. So if you're, like, playing video games, like, whoa, who's this?
Yeah.
And in your mind, you're like, I bet she'd be hot naked. Hold on. You can see this in this adult film I'm in, and you should purchase a membership to this website.
Right.
Like, this one knows deep cut anime references. Yeah.
You're like, man, she knows about Evangelion, dude. Like, she's sick. Dude, I fuck with that. But, like, you know, it makes sense because, you know, for when you're doing adult films, like athletes, you get paid a lot of money for a little bit of your time. So in your free time, just hop on that stream and start marketing.
What are some other examples, Vanessa? Or can you talk about other examples of like having to
talk about
create?
Well, no, personally, you don't have to get like, messy. Well, but
put your voice in other people's mouths, or even if it's not yours specifically, like being in the industry. Like, what are some examples of people who need help in that department?
Well, there's like the porn stars and cam girls for like nerdier references, or there was some where I'd basically like go to conventions and stuff like that, and they would do like person on the street things, and I would feed them lines and questioning like based on who they were talking to. Like, I've had different gigs where it's someone that has to like they're like a host or something, and they have to say something funny, and I'll essentially like feed them lines. It's been a lot of like that character in a movie where they like whisper who someone is to the president in their ear.
Right.
But for like comedy and pop culture based things.
Right.
Oh,
this is Shinzo Abe, Prime Minister of Japan.
Right.
Hello. His wife. She just had a child. And like, is the child good?
There was one where it was this person interviewing Lou Ferrigno, and I basically was just kind of like just a walking in an earpiece, just kind of like, all right, make this stupid Hulk pun.
Right. And he can't hear. He's like, what did you say? And you're like, what was the line again?
But the Twitter one was the wackiest one.
I'm sure. What was like the most popular tweet you ever did that was nerd culture-y and people were like, whoa? Or what was like a good solid reference that you gave everybody that could give them that quick nerd cred?
I don't want to like say the exact tweet directly, but I'll say what it was in reference
Yes.
And I basically noticed that this one adult film actress's clip with a fucking machine looked just like in Neon Genesis when that capsule injects into the Ava.
Right.
So I like posted like a side-by-side image of it and it blew up.
Oh, man. she gets it.
That's amazing.
So yeah, and guys, do your due diligence and pull those nerd cards.
Well, presumably it's not just porn stars who have account writers, right? Like, I'm sure
I know so many other people that have done it for celebrities, for like late night show accounts, for like any kind of like public media person.
Right.
Like, I fell into that one just because by word of mouth, they'd like recommend me to other people. But I know a lot of people that would do it for like Food Network TV chefs to make them look like charming and quirky, like actors that had been like in kind of one thing, but then they developed like a really popular Twitter following because they were like really quippy. So I've known a lot of other writers that write for people to make them seem very clever and pop culture smart.
Man, that'd be the next. We should do a fucking investigation.
Seriously, though, because
fake at Twitter ghostwriters.
I do think that's important for people to know because I think a lot of the times, you know, we're comparing ourselves to, you know, unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're like, wow, how do they have time to have a full time movie career and TV show career
and
just be hilarious like 20 times a day? And it's like, well, they have a writing staff.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you have information. Hit us up on Daily Zeitgeist Investigates.
Hell yeah.
Hashtag DZ Investigates.
Let's talk about Mike Cernovich.
Let's talk about Mike Cernovich because this man, if you don't know who Mike Cernovich is, we talk about him on occasion.
Yeah.
He's a piece of alt-right trash. You know, he perpetuated the whole Pizzagate conspiracy. That was all him. You know what else? He loves, he has some really interesting takes on rape. He's just a very awful right-wing troll and conspiracy theorist. I mean, he's said things like, I went from libertarian to alt-right after realizing tolerance only went one way and diversity is code for white genocide.
Uh-huh.
So this gives you an idea of who this man is, if you didn't know.
And
now
he
you know.
Is, his one move is if you doubt him, if you say anything negative about him, he will call you a pedophile.
Yes.
That is his immediate move.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And okay, so he's a human piece of garbage. And we found out that there is this woman who's running for Jeff Flake's open Senate seat because he's retiring because he, I don't know, figured out how bad of a look
what
it is to be a Republican.
Flake.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-oh. Hey, do you want to write my Twitter? Let's talk after this.
So, I'll give you my rates.
Thank you. We find out that he is going to be doing a bus tour with Dr. Kelly Ward, who is in this three-horse race to get the nomination, the GOP nomination, going to the midterms. But this group is really wacky. It's her, Joe Arpaio, Mr. Prison Camps, and Martha McSally. Martha McSally is probably going to win it. She's like ahead by 20 points over these other two. But this woman, Kelly Ward, she is thirsty for some votes, which is why she's probably teaming up with Mike Cernovich. So this is her on MSNBC, where she's getting pressed a little bit. They're like, wait, so what's up with you and Mike Cernovich? And this is just an interesting interaction where she's either pretending she doesn't know who Mike Cernovich is or straight up is fully ignorant about what the alt-right is.
Do you think that the Republican Party should embrace the so-called alt-right?
You know, I think that the Republican Party and the people of the United States should embrace making America great again. And the way we do that is...
That's the president's campaign slogan. I'm asking about the alt-right.
I mean, the alt-right, the alt-left, the radical left, the radical right, I think that we should be embracing...
I'm talking specifically about the alt-right.
I'm not a part of the alt-right. I don't really know what you're asking. Give me something specific,
and I can answer your question.
Alt,
you have an alt-right figure accompanying you on the statewide bus tour. That's
I have someone
asking.
That you're calling an alt-right figure. Please explain to me what you feel the alt-right is, and then I can answer your question. I'd be glad to, Casey.
The alt-right has been generally described to encompass a variety of elements that include people who sometimes espouse views of white nationalism, potentially white supremacy. It is an umbrella term that covers many of these various lines of thinking, and I'm wondering if that represents your campaign.
I think that that's a ridiculous statement. My campaign represents faith,
family,
and freedom.
So do you not want Mike Cernovich on your bus tour?
I mean, Mike Cernovich has an audience that we want to reach.
Oh, there it is.
Republicans, conservatives,
supposed to say that.
Liberals, Democrats, people of all ilks. Uh-huh. And so if he's coming on the bus tour, I think that he'll have a voice and he'll have something that he wants to say.
Liberals and Democrats love Mike
Cernovich. Oh, yeah. I'm frothing at the pants to hear what he's saying about fucking Pizzagate or what other...
MSNBC stands for Mainstream News Bullshit and Communism.
Oh, hell yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
all right, Mike.
That's right, bro.
Yeah, shout out to Casey Hunt for being like, no, that's not the question I asked.
Right.
Yep. Is this a trend? And, you know, She really
left the hammer for the end. She was like, so you don't want to have Mike Cernovich on your
list
then.
And I think, you know, Kelly Ward gave it up when she was like, he has an audience we're trying to reach, which is, though, really violent alt-right. You know, the very specific brand of conservatives that you probably don't want.
Yeah, we know what politics is.
Yeah.
We don't think you should be doing it.
I like it just goes, I don't know what you mean by alt-right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's where I was like, are you just doing the I don't know her to just kind of get out of the situation?
Well, but she came in with her chin out. She was like, you know, I don't know. Why don't you explain to me? And it's just like, well, you know what she's going to say, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't you know who Mike Cernovich
is? Or you're in such a bubble, right, where you don't understand what that looks like outside of just being a conservative. Where you're like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah,
and they explain so I can debunk that. But it's like, that's not, you don't want to be with this.
I found it so funny that she started with the I don't know her defense, and then she went to that thing you do when somebody's like, hey, you know this X movie? And you're like, yeah, of course I know it, but can you explain it to me so that I know that you know what I know?
Right.
With the just like, oh, of course I know what they, but why don't you tell me what your definition of it is so we have the same one?
Yeah. I just thought they were like Republicans on the internet.
Right.
Oh, really? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. I just thought it was Republicans that discovered pomade.
Vanessa, it's been a pleasure having you.
It's been a pleasure being here.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the Brouhaha podcast. You can find me on my website, vanessagritton.com, and on @NessGritton on Twitter.
All right. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying lately that you want to share with our listeners?
Of mine or of...
anyone's. Yours? Anyone's, someone yours. Else's. The tweet you're I don't know.
Of mine, probably my tweet about Carrie Bradshaw and an analingus. on the internet, it's just a video of Ariana Grande petting a dog weird. She pets
like
it really hard.
She doesn't know how to
Doesn't look... I'm going to show you after. It looks like she doesn't know how to pet a dog. Like, she keeps getting, like, thumb in the eye and just going, like, head on, hand forward on its face. It's my favorite thing.
Wow.
So Ariana Grande doesn't know how to pet dogs.
I am robot. You are dog. that is my Ariana Grande impression. And you're welcome.
You are dog.
Miles.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like comes from Dan Rather, which is more about kind of the world we live in right now with Manafort's trial about to wrap up and Mike Cohen, you know, having his own problems with some $20 million worth of loans. He writes, this is from @DanRather, both parties need to get serious about vigilantly prosecuting quote-unquote white-collar crime. Those caught in the Mueller probe prove that, if nothing else. And while we're at it, let's retire the trivializing euphemism quote white-collar crime. A felony is a felony and a criminal is a criminal. Which is very funny because, like, when you look at the crimes of Paul Manafort, it's like y'all are selectively enforcing the law because right. You just want to enforce these, like, rich white people crimes, but every person who's smoking a blunt on the street, you know, is getting locked
they
up or tased and shit, you know what I mean?
Time.
So, yeah, let's fucking, you know, probably stand to get some money back, too, if you prosecute these white-collar crimes.
This criminality will not stand. A mm-hmm. Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Dana Gould, just a classic tweet. How many weeks away are we from Rudy Giuliani going on TV just to fart in a kid's pool and shout at the bubbles? and then Newsweek tweeted Bill Maher defended Alex Jones on Friday saying, I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. And Paul F. Tompkins said, weird for this guy to defend the idea of saying any old bullshit to get attention. You can follow me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us @DailyZeitgeist on Twitter. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information in today's episode. We also do that in the description of the episode on whatever platform you're using, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever. Just click on the more information and the footnotes should be there. We also link off to the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going
to
be?
I think we need to go just really loving this Marlo album, which is a collaboration between the producer LaRange and North Kakalaka MC, what's his name? Solomon Brigham. Yes. And they call themselves Marlo, and they are just doing this old school, you know, what we like to call like golden era hip hop style of hip hop, just real sample based hip hop. This track is called Lost Arts by Marlo. It's just my goodness, it's like nostalgia, and I couldn't believe this is an album being made now, and I love it. So you will love it too.
We do like nostalgic rap music, don't we, Miles?
Yes, we do. We even talked about it, I think,
on a podcast called Guilty Pleasures, which is out today.
So check that.
Oh yeah.
So go check that shit out.
Here, Jack and I talk about the golden era of hip hop.
Indeed, our specific definition.
Yeah,
which I don't think it. I don't think it even is necessarily the same.
It's a very hotly debated era.
Yeah,
but I like to say for me, it's 93 to 99-ish. Whatever, it's up to you.
Anyways, we're gonna ride out on our guilty pleasure. We will be back tomorrow with another episode of the podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
It's programmed to bring you a live broadcast from the once defunct but now resurrected lost arts.
Don't you feel it?
Brigham.
Revolution is knocking, resolution is knowledge. Get your hand on my pocket, no weapon made can conquer my inner pain. It started my evolution of rhyming. Persecuted and daddy, they instituted the violence that started my defiance. Give no respect or alliance. Less men get rich than ones who die trying. Less making commitments, dollars have no bias. Show you how to move in a den full of lions. If the dinner ain't cooking, you gotta know where to find it. Even if you paint pretty, you can't change the climate in my inner sanctum. My hard work is thankless, bold print the statement. I could show you something that's suited for all ages. Back when I used to hide the heist and crawl spaces, all for the cost of blank slate your faces. From the sinister cemetery, real life visionary, not preliminary. My kingdom is ruled by Vikings. While we can't have nice things, when that hunger rings, watch how they resort to biting. While I look crooked, Lee took from me everything. Off the rope and out the tree to Washington, Booker T. Watch the way you talk to me because I speak awfully. Even when mocking me, you gotta do it awkwardly. Often dark thoughts speak, giving me these allergies. When I sneeze, who's gonna bless me? Counting one blessing and then it got depressing. Now down again, see what your team stopped suggesting. We make it our business to see and remain different. Same day, different dark feeling, black state of living. Counterfeits keep trying to hack my religion. Every night I pray that all but the whack be forgiven. Am I ignorant? You're nobody till they make a wax figure. Rap cinema, call the minister what I administer. A sinister, pivotal, pitiful, criminal, lyrical prisoner. Remember the signature when I deliver the finisher. Born and risen with menace miniatures. Drop dead center in a sinner's dilemma. Don't make fun of the service, they just ain't used to the tremors. While I keep in a sweet life, my pocket of bitters makes my air a bit thinner. I'm what remains on the filter. You should be more considerate, pay your anguish a visit. Raided the village just to make the place more militant. Painted an image and I don't give a braille who feeling it. Mail the sentiment while I'm out breaking my ligaments. Snatching your black citizens, filling them with degenerates.